Welcome once again to Sky Comish Community Church online service. A little COVID-19 update. The governor spoke this week, and I'm just as clueless as I was before. So when things start to open up, they'll open up. We'll definitely let people know as we're getting closer. It looks like churches won't be able to actually meet physically together until phase three. And the governor said each phase would be approximately 3 weeks. I don't think we're in phase one yet. So I don't know what that means. And of course, some of that is going to be dependent upon the numbers and the science and how people are interpreting and reading the data. And again, we don't know what any of that means. I would like to welcome everyone that's listening to Sky Comish Community Church. We're a word preaching, people loving community, and it's been obvious by the love of people, even at a distance, they've been able to demonstrate that in this community, and I'm grateful for what God's doing in hearts and lives, and ask that He'll even explode that even more in Sky Comish, in the Sky Comish region, from Monroe to Stevens Pass at least, and maybe beyond. There are no gatherings still at this point. When we get to phase one, the only gatherings that will be allowed will be individual households. And at least hiking would be available, but not group hiking. Phase two, you can meet with up to 5 people a week, whatever that means. Phase three is up to 50 people. And so for when we get to phase three, gatherings at Sky Comish Church should open pretty wide. It's rare that we get over 50. And that's just historically. Maybe in the future, we're going to need to wait to phase four to really go full strength. But for now, 50. And then we're still going to want to keep some social distancing. So there's no way we're getting more than 50 in this small building. We would have to do multiple services or something like that. And, you know, Lord willing, that could happen. Vacation Bible School still might happen. And the report is that school might start in the fall. So there is some hope. If you're considering giving an offering, and we've certainly enjoyed and appreciated everybody that's found ways to mail them in, and a couple people have done it now on the donate button on the website. You can mail checks to Sky Comish Community Church, P.O. Box 56, Sky Comish, Washington 98288. And you will have all this information on the notes if you go online. You're probably online if you're listening to this. And just click on the notes button. It'll open a PDF file that will not only have the announcements, but the sermon notes and a lot more. So it's definitely worth clicking on that if you're on the site listening to the sermon. Prayer Spotlight this week is Tim and Aletha Salcido, and they're in Kittredge, Colorado, Kittredge Community Bible Church. It's in the foothills of the Rockies west of Denver, in a beautiful canyon valley with a creek running through it. Sounds pretty. We've got 5 rivers and a dozen creeks running through our little valley right here in Sky Comish, but I don't know about Colorado Rockies. That sounds pretty cool. Since joining the Village Missions family in 1964, the Kittredge Community Church, Bible Church joined in 1964. Since then, Denver has crept much closer, making Kittredge more of a bedroom community for workers in Denver. Pray for our 20-year-old daughter who has undiagnosed health issues. Also, pray for wisdom as we navigate all the challenges during and after this pandemic. Wisdom for the pastor and his family, wisdom for the board at Kittredge Community Bible Church, and all the other Village Missions churches as well. How to phase back in, how to keep people safe, how to reach out, how to connect. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that we get to be in your word again. We're so excited to be able to preach the word as a demonstration of love to the people. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that today your holy word will penetrate hearts, starting with mine. Teach us to not only be hearers of the word, but to be doers also. thank you, Jesus, that we are allowed and privileged to pray in your holy name. Amen. Well, there's five topics that I'm going to touch on from today's verse. Today's verse is Ephesians 5:8. And I could have chosen more topics, and I considered stretching this out over 4 or 5 weeks, but I'm going to compress it into one sermon and mostly just cover those five topics. The five topics are listed in the notes. The first one is darkness, and it says you were. The second one is light. It's something that you are. Third topic is in the Lord, and again, that's something that you are. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior and you've become a follower of the way, follower of Jesus, you are light. You are in the Lord. And then we're to live or to walk in the light, and that's something that you will do. You will live, you will walk, but depending on how you choose to do that, if you're in the Lord, and of course, if you, again, we've already said, you are in the Lord, if you have chosen to follow him, then you will walk or live in the light. And then the last topic I want to touch, the fifth topic, is children. And again, you are children. So each of those we're going to touch on. Before we do that, though, let's go back just a quick review from last week. Ephesians 5:7, therefore, do not be partners with them. Again, we talked about that last week. In parentheses, I put, don't partner with the ones who are disobedient. Partner with the Lord and his holy people. And that's mostly what last week's sermon was about. It doesn't mean that we are not in the world. We're still in the world, but we're not partnering with the world. We're not partnering with the way of the Gentiles. We're not partnering with the flesh or with the old ways, but we're partnering with holiness. We're partnering with Jesus himself. In today's text, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. The first word there, when you see for, or therefore, or lots of different ways that scripture will use a transitional word to refer you back to something that previously happened. So I'd like you to observe when it starts with for you were once darkness, when you see for, it refers back. So it's going to refer back to the previous verse. You were once darkness. And it goes back. I'm going to find it on here. There it is. Therefore, do not be partners with them. You were once darkness. You were once one of them. And because you're no longer partners with them, you're partners with the Lord. Because of that, don't walk in darkness. Four. So we're referring back. The next observation I'd like to bring to you is the word you there. Oftentimes, in especially Western culture in America, we hear you and we think of ourselves. And it's like when Jesus says, I love you, you think, oh, yay, Jesus loves me. Well, oftentimes it's a plural you. And so in this particular case, it's obvious from the context, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Children is plural, and obviously the you in both cases there is also plural. So, you plural. For y'all were once darkness, but now y'all are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Just a little observation there that oftentimes when we're reading through Scripture, we forget that many of the you pronouns are plural pronouns. So, if we could find a way to put that in Scripture, I'd love it. But most of the time you can tell from the context. And then the next observation before I start with my five topical points is were once. It's past tense. but now. So we're moving from past tense to present tense. Darkness is past, light is present and future. And that's just something to rejoice in, that we don't have to continue in darkness. You were once darkness. And it doesn't say that you were in darkness. It says you were darkness. You were once darkness. There was a time where you were darkness. But now you are light. Scripture talks about that in a lot of different ways. It talks about moving from death into life. You were once darkness. The scripture that I want to turn to is Acts 26. And in Acts 26, verse 18 is the verse that you'll find in the notes. But I'm going to read verses 12 through 18 and even refer back a little beyond that. Apostle Paul is speaking to a king. He's been arrested. He's been held in jail. And now he's speaking to a king. And King Agrippa is interested in hearing from him. And he's more of interested in, like, this is a nice curiosity. Here's this famous guy that has stirred up a lot of communities by going there and preaching about this Jesus, and then there's riots and things get crazy, and he gets to either run from the town or go to jail. And so he wants to listen to what this man has to say, and Agrippa's listening to him. And Paul, in speaking to him, decides this is a perfect opportunity to tell King Agrippa the gospel and how I met Jesus. And so he starts giving his personal testimony. And starting in verse 12, on one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, King Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground. And I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, or in Hebrew, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Then I asked, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, the Lord replied. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. It's interesting, Paul's been appointed to be a witness of what he's seen, and now he's witnessing what he had seen, and he did this often. He says, I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them, to the Gentiles, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. This concept of darkness, they're in darkness. I'm sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. The equivalence there is light goes with God, darkness goes with Satan. So that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So there's the gospel kind of in a nutshell with the testimony of Apostle Paul. When he was Saul, he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. It was life-changing. And it was 180 degrees life-changing for him. He went from being a persecutor of the people that followed Jesus to become a witness for Jesus, to become a perpetrator of the way. He became somebody that did everything he could to build the kingdom, and he recognized that Jesus was King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that experience took him from darkness to light. Even though when he saw the light, he was blinded. Later, his eyes were opened. He spent more time studying, but he already knew Scripture very well, and he recognized that Jesus was throughout the Old Testament in Scripture. And then he gets to write many, many letters, and we have a number of them as part of the canon, a part of the New Testament text that we get to look at. And Holy Spirit had inspired him to write these things. And as you read Scripture, Holy Spirit will inspire you to understand even difficult things that Paul wrote. Moving to the next topic. light. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. You are light. That's opposite of darkness. And oftentimes when we find scripture about darkness, it's also going to mention light. It's also going to mention other topics in the Lord and whatnot that we're covering today. Going to John chapter 8, verse 12, and then chapter 9, verse 5. John 8, 12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Then again in chapter 9, verse 5, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus is explaining that he is the light. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's so many things. A number of the I am statements that appear in John, one of those that's an important one here is he's the light. If we're going to move out of darkness and into the light, if we were darkness and now we are light in the Lord Jesus, if we're light, it's only because of Jesus, because he is the light, the true light. And then John 12, 35 and 36. Jesus said to them, you're going to have light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light. It's interesting that in this verse we hear a number of the topics that are covered in Ephesians 5:8. There's darkness, there's light, there's being in the Lord, and then there's also the concept of children and walking. It's all there. The next topic is in the Lord. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And I'm going to spend probably a little bit more time on this than the other topics. Being in the Lord, I've listed some selected texts in the notes. And please, as you listen, go ahead and find a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, get an app. There's apps you can get on your phone to put Bibles on your phone. You can put Bibles on your computer. You can go to BibleGateway.com. There's so many places where you can get multiple translations of Scripture. And I'd like you to go ahead and read along as we're looking through some of these. We're going to start with Psalm 37. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. I love this psalm. It's one of those that I've kind of in my head dubbed as the Don't Worry, Be Happy psalm. This is another psalm of David. There's a whole other story there that David could be called a man after God's own heart. And if you read all the sins that David did, it gives me hope that Jesus can love us in spite of who we are, not because of who we are. Psalm 37 of David. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. That's one of the in the Lord sections here. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pastures. We're to dwell with the Lord. Take delight in the Lord. We're to delight in the Lord. We're trusting in the Lord. We're delighting in the Lord. We're dwelling with the Lord. And he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. We're going to be committed in the Lord, to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn. Talk about light. Your righteous reward will shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. So we're to be still, we're to wait on the Lord. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it only leads to evil. So don't worry, be happy, don't fret, don't worry. Delight. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. So that concept there of being in the Lord, your hope is in the Lord. And I just, in those few short verses, we're trusting in the Lord, we're delighting in the Lord, we're committed to the Lord, we're being still and waiting and hoping in the Lord. Our hope is in Him. I didn't put a bookmark in my next one, so you're going to hear pages shuffling around a little bit here. Habakkuk 3, 17 and 18. If you were saying that with the Hebrew sound, it would be more guttural. It kind of comes out of the throat somehow. But do you have a page number there for me yet, Kathy? I'm looking and struggling. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. There we go. Page 1441 in the Pew Bibles. All right. In Habakkuk, he starts out being a little upset with God and wondering why God's not doing his job right. And he explains to God how he maybe should change some of his ways. And I think we are like Habakkuk. We go to prayer oftentimes explaining to God what's wrong and how he can fix it. And as Habakkuk worked through some of these things, there was a give and take, and Habakkuk got some answers to prayer, but not the answers he wanted, and then some other things happened, and finally he gets to the end and he realizes, I guess I'm not God, and God is God and I'm not. And so chapter 3 of Habakkuk is just a beautiful prayer, the entire chapter. I'm not going to read the entire chapter, but I would recommend that you do that and just recognize how much he had turned to God and how much in many ways he repented and recognized the true one that was in charge of all things. So as we look here at Habakkuk chapter 3 and verses 17 and 18, he gets to this part that he's like, okay, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. Habakkuk was demonstrating right there that he was in the Lord and he knew how to rejoice, because being in the Lord, nothing else mattered. And we could relate that to today. It's though the nation is shut down, though many are sick and dying, though the food supply and toilet paper supply is becoming scarce, though there's danger of losing the lifeline to meat. For some of us that enjoy meat, and they are getting worried that there might not be enough meat. Now there's a run on meat in the stores, and stores are having to tell people, no, you can only buy two steaks today. And it's no matter what happens. I know that as the farmers try to determine how are they going to get their crops in, there's farmers in Ecuador that are afraid to go out and harvest their crops. And there's migrant farm workers that their whole method of working is side by side continuously. And even when they get all the fruit picked, they still go into the canneries or into the warehouses, and they start sorting. And again, they're shoulder to shoulder, side by side, working. And there's no way that they can work in that close proximity without spreading a disease if one of them has it. And so we're looking at potentially, even in Washington State here, how are they going to find out how to take care of the crops? You know, the cherries aren't going to wait until phase three. The cherries are going to be ripe when they're ripe. We can't change that. And whatever happens, Habakkuk says, yet, verse 18 there, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. So if we don't have enough food on the table, you know what? I've been eating too much anyway. If we don't have everything that we want, if we can't take the trips that we want to take or the vacations that we want to take, if we're not able to be with the people we want to be with, and I know that that's hard. And I know that I don't want to, belittle anyone's suffering and grief right now. Watching loved ones die from a distance is difficult. I was in Maine when one of my friends died in Washington State. Couldn't be near him. And all I could do was walk out into the pasture and sob. And I know that it hurts. And yet, the comfort was that I was in the Lord and he was in the Lord, and it still hurts, but it's a different kind of hurt, where you have peace that surpasses understanding, where you have the ability to move forward knowing that God is still on the throne, he's still in control, and being in the Lord is the safest and best and most perfect place that anyone could be. The next passage that I'd like you to turn to is Acts 16. If I can see through my tears here, I'll find it. Here we go. Acts 16, starting in verse 29, which will be on page 1692 in your pew Bibles. I wish you were here to enjoy that. Paul was in prison again. He kept finding himself in jail. He had difficulties. And in this particular prison scene, Paul and Silas were there. They're singing. They're having a good time. There's an earthquake. The door's open. The jailer's thinking, oh no, all the prisoners have escaped. I must kill myself or I'm going to be punished by the governing authorities. And verse 28, Paul shouted, don't harm yourself, we're all here. Well, the jailer called for lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord. It's that simple. If you're not in the Lord, how do you get in the Lord? You believe in the Lord. And you will be saved. Then you'll be in the Lord. You and your household, they can all do it. It's for everyone. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him. How do they teach people to be in the Lord? You go to the word. You go to scripture. You show them how it can be done. They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. You know that if we're in the Lord, it's that simple. If you're not in the Lord, just believe in the Lord. If you don't know how to believe, go to Scripture. Find the verses that talk about repent and follow. Turn from darkness to light. The other section that I want to cover for this in the Lord portion, this in the Lord topic of Ephesians 5:8, is John chapter 17. Many of you think you know the Lord's Prayer, and yet this is really truly the Lord's Prayer. This is the prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ prayed when he was getting ready to go to the cross. If you look closely in here, you're going to find that he prayed for you. He prayed for me. He prayed for all of those that were to come and be in the Lord. I'm going to read the entire chapter. It's a beautiful chapter, and I recommend again that you know, slow down, take your time with this scripture. Let Holy Spirit guide you and direct you. Realize the agony that Jesus must have been going through emotionally as he knows he's going to the cross. He's laying his life down for a bunch of us that don't deserve any kind of mercy. And he's demonstrating and giving us more than we could ever imagine or hope for. So Jesus prays to be glorified. Chapter 17, verse 1. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give you eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began, before the creation. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. So he's praying for his disciples. He's praying for those that became followers of Jesus during his earthly ministry. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, by the way, that's to kind of be looked at, you know, the name you gave me so that they may be one as we are one. You know that if we're in the Lord, it's just as close as Jesus and the Father. There's this unity in spirit that brings us to the point where we are truly in the Lord. It's not just words. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe. By that name you gave me, none has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. If you're in the Lord, you can have the full measure of the joy of God. That's a pretty big measure. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Just, even though that verse doesn't say in the Lord, it's like, how do we learn to believe in the Lord? We go to Scripture. We go to the Word. And sanctification comes by the truth that is in the Word. Sanctify them by the truth. Your Word is truth. I think any time you want to get closer to God, go to the Word. Holy Spirit inspired this Word, and He promises that He'll remind us of everything that He's taught us as we read through the Word. So, you know, keep on going back to the Word. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Jesus set himself apart so that we could be set apart ones. And then this next section is really for us, for this new generation. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. And the disciples, starting with Pentecost, started spreading the gospel to the point where it has reached pretty much the whole world. If you have believed in the message, it's because it came from the Word, which is incorporated in New Testament Scripture. Says, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, through the message of the disciples, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. There's a whole lot of being in Jesus there, isn't there? I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. If we're in the Lord, the world's going to be able to see a difference in our lives. They're going to recognize that that's a God thing. There's no way that that person could have done what they did in their own strength, in the flesh, but they can do it in the Lord. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory and the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. So we're not only in the Lord, but the Lord is in us. It's a unity that goes beyond understanding. That's worth spending a little bit of time contemplating and recognizing the miracle of oneness, the miracle of being in the Lord. And now I'm moving to the next topic. Ephesians 5:8, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And a big, bold, underlined, live, or some translations will say walk. Live as children of light. Walk as children of light. If we're to live or to walk in a certain way. Ephesians 4:17. So we're in Ephesians 5 now. You don't have to go back very far to see. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. So in Ephesians 4:17, it says what we're not supposed to be doing. You must no longer live as the Gentiles do. Why not? Because you're in the Lord. Verse 8 of chapter 5, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Don't be living in darkness. Don't be in darkness. Don't be darkness. Be light. Be living in the light. Living and walking. There are so many other passages. I could have, like I said, taken and spent 5 weeks easily on this verse. If you go through Proverbs, you're going to find all kinds of passages about walking and living properly. You're going to find it throughout Paul's epistles. You'll find it in Revelation. You'll find it even in Old Testament. There's a concept of walking properly. In fact, in Hebrew tradition, the Shema, Deuteronomy 6, you're going to recognize that this is something that you talk about while you walk in the way and while you sit and while you lie down and while you get up and whatever you're doing. There's no time period, there's no activity that should be excluding living in the Lord, walking in the Lord, walking in the light. And then finally, the last topic that I want to cover in this verse is children. The concept of children. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. And we're probably just as guilty as the disciples, the apostles were in thinking that children maybe should just be seen and not heard. They should be set aside. They're not that important, especially the younger they are, the less importance we give to them. And Jesus doesn't do that. In fact, I'm going to go over some seemingly redundant scriptures and hope that you realize when God puts something in three different gospels, there's a reason for it to be there. It's kind of a level of importance and should be contemplated and meditated on and thought about. Before I get to the gospel accounts, chapter 5 that we're in right now, verses 1 and 2, follow God's example or imitate God, therefore, as dearly loved children. the concept of children didn't just pop out of nowhere here in verse 8. Paul was already talking about, you are dearly loved children. You're children in the light. You're to walk as children of light. We're to be childlike. We're to be children. Follow God's example as children. Okay, you think about it. We're looking up to Father God, and it's like we're the kids, and we want to be like Dad. We're going to imitate Dad. We're going to follow after Dad's example. Now, we'll probably do that. If we've got a father that's not a very good example, guess what? We're probably going to find most of his sins in us, things that we're prone to. We've got to be careful as fathers and mothers that we're not demonstrating the wrong things to our children or to those that are looking up to us. But God is an example that we can imitate or follow for sure. Walk in the way of love. If we're following God's example, we're going to walk in the way of love. Dear children, little children, walk in the way of love. That's how Papa, Daddy, Father God walks. He walks in the way of love. And he loved us so much that he gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Going to Matthew 19, and here's where I'm going to cover three gospel accounts, Matthew 19, Mark 10, and Luke 18. In Matthew 19, verses 13 and 14, people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Here's the disciples. It's like, no, get those kids away. We're trying to help the rabbi teach the adults, the ones that can actually understand. These kids will never understand. Don't bother with them. That goes directly against what Old Testament Shema says. It's like, talk to your little ones. Raise them up so that they know. Teach them. And Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Then in Mark 10, people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And then again, he continues, truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. Jesus loved the children. He prayed for the children. He blessed the children. And he expects us to come to him as little children. We oftentimes think that we're coming to God as an equal, as a peer. We treat God like he's just our buddy and we can give him advice and we can kibitz with him and joke with him and laugh and ignore and get angry and do all these things. We treat him just like he's one of us. And I know he wants closeness, but we really are much better off and we're exhorted to approach God as children, recognizing that we're to look up to him and learn from him. Then in Luke chapter 18, Dr. Luke did a lot of research and he checked and interviewed and looked for the story of Jesus so that he could write it down and document it in an organized fashion. And obviously this story came up because it was such a profound story that it was memorable. People that later talked to Dr. Luke about the life of Jesus Christ remembered, well, there was this time and they said people were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them, but Jesus called the children to him and said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Today's text, Ephesians 5:8, says, "For you were once darkness." We talked a little bit about darkness. Equivalent would be Satan. "But now you are light." The equivalent is God. "In the Lord." I hope I covered well enough the concept of being in the Lord. If you are in the Lord, light in the Lord, live as children of light. We're to walk in the ways of God. We're to walk as children. Not as haughty adults, not as those that think that they know everything that's going on, but to be children. You know, children are curious, children are eager, children are rambunctious, and children spend a lot of time searching out things. They don't act like they know everything until they get to be older children. It reminds me of when I worked at the Pointe Fines Zoo and Aquarium as a docent. One of the examples that we would talk about is when barnacles are first born, they're swimming around freely, they're exploring, they're looking. As they get to be a little bit older, they attach themselves to something, whether it's the hull of a ship or a rock or whatever. They find something to attach themselves to, and they decide, this is where I want to stay. And they have this crustiness come around them, and they're stuck there in their crusty hole, reaching their feet out to grab food so that they can survive. And I think oftentimes as adults, we forget what's important. We forget that we can look in awe at the Father. We can just enjoy creation. We can love one another with an open and free love that is beyond understanding. We can truly live like children, live as children of light. 1 Peter, another one of my favorite disciples, moody, had all kinds of issues, had lots of pride, had problems, had anger, and I can relate to him in so many ways. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, "But you are a chosen people." By the way, that "you" is also plural. Y'all. "You, church, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession." You know, God looks at you and says, "Wow, you're my special possession. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." If we're walking as children of light, we're going to be proclaiming, declaring the praises of the One. We're going to be declaring the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His wonderful light. "Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Let's close in prayer. Father, you are so good. Continue to teach us as we turn to your scripture and learn your ways. Help us to walk in light as children. And now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.